This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Well, I was going to ask you, Keith, if you're ready for a new wide receiver. We'll get to Steph Diggs coming up in a moment, but
real quick, yes, I am.
Are you ready for a new owner of the Celtics?
New owner? I better be ready.
Wow! Out of the clouds!
You can't have a second first impression. So if the new owner of the Celtics is listening right now, I want to say congratulations, good sir, on the sale, the purchase. Good value. Good get.
Yeah, nice get. Good, yeah. Solid purchase there, sir.
Getting in on a good time. Definitely going to make that money back and then some. You'll be fine. You have your own building. Your team's not $200 million into the luxury tax. You're not paying guys $60 million annually. It is a weird thing. I mean, it's such a different world, like these guys that have this kind of money. But at one point, I mean, I know pro sports teams make a ton of money, but holy smokes, is it expensive to operate the Boston Celtics right now?
6.1B. Is the sale.
That is the largest sale for a sports franchise in North American history.
Now, again, that's the valuation, right? Because what percentage is William Chisholm buying? He is the new owner of the Boston Celtics. If you're just tuning in, just happened. This morning, Boston Globe had it. Bloomberg was hinting at it earlier today. Adam Himmelsbach of the Globe had the story. He writes, Celtics Ownership Group has agreed to sell the team to William Chisholm, Bill Chisholm.
You're going to call him Bill?
That's how I like to refer to
him. I don't like that.
When I was Googling around for the 5 seconds before the
Bill
show, I saw people call him Bill.
There's some William Chisholms that we found from like the 1700s up in Canada.
Yeah, correct.
One guy. It's not him. Don't click on that one.
No, it's not. In fact, the man doesn't have a wiki page.
No.
Not that
I saw. Is that good or bad?
You found him on LinkedIn.
I did. We have three mutual connections. No, just kidding. Shockingly none.
William Chisholm, Bill Chisholm as I like to call him, managing director and co-founder of Symphony Technology Group, STG, as I like to refer to it.
Sure.
A league source told the Globe on Thursday, Chisholm, a Dartmouth graduate, grew up in Georgetown, Mass.
All right, so New Hampshire, he's familiar with New Hampshire, familiar with Massachusetts, that's good.
He is a longtime Celtics fan. So he was an undergrad at Dartmouth, grew up in Georgetown, longtime Celtics fan, Keith.
I like it. No, in all seriousness, you didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know who was going to buy the team, right? And so Steve Pagliuca's name was there, and you're like, all right, that would be some holdover from the previous regime. There were other different rumors, like it might just be, you know, casino people. It might be people from wherever. Like, we were all fearful, like, if it was going to be John Henry. Like, there was a lot of different names tossed out there. If this guy truly is a Celtics fan, that's a good sign, right? Like, I don't think the first thing you would do is, like, why would you buy the Celtics right now to make major roster changes? Like, I just feel like, why would you... Because
you think they're a good investment, and you're
but I
not...
think part of the investment is they're competing for titles right now, well, and it's a great team. When the team stinks and you're not selling out the building, like how great is that investment now?
Here's a little more on Bill Chisholm. Right. I want to circle back to that and Pags, who loses out, which I never thought he was going to win, and most longtime Celtics fans wanted Pags to win out because that was status quo. That was, you know, keeping the train on the tracks as much as you could.
Right.
I don't know that I fully agree with that. I'd rather have a guy with deeper pockets than Pags, quite frankly. And maybe this guy is it. Again, William Chisholm, Symphony Technology Group, California-based private equity firm. He previously co-founded the Valent Group. He was at Bain as well.
Nice.
Celtics co-owner Wick Grosbeck expected to remain governor through the ownership transition.
Okay.
When the Celtics sale was announced, blah, 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 51% was going to be the number. It was expected to sell in late 2024 or early 2025. Grosbeck family is selling the estate for family planning considerations. Mm-hmm. Any more details, we'll get to that. So, William Chisholm is the new owner of the Boston Celtics. He is a local guy. We can get to your thoughts on it. 617-779-7937. We will get to our brackets later on. We're going to start with our brackets. The holiest of holy days out there, Keith, on the sporting calendar.
Really is.
NCAA tournament. Brackets filled out. We were going to do those. We'll bump those later on in the show. We'll get to Steph Diggs as well with all your phone calls. But he's the new owner of the Celtics, which means it's not Steve Pagliuca.
No.
And you say, why would you buy the team to just break it up? Well, I don't know. Maybe he looks at it as an investment. He is supposedly a Celtics fan. They're really pushing that in the Globe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. My fear would be it's a new guy and you don't know how he's going to act. And yeah, there could be moves coming. It's not going to affect the team this year.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
But longer term, that has to be a concern.
Yeah, we don't know. I don't know. You know, does he listen to people there that say, look, here's how much money we're currently making on a year-in and year-in basis. And trips to the finals and, you know, playing X number of, you know, playoff games versus just being at the top of the league and like just sort of that whole thing versus, all right, you know, if we make one round of the playoffs or if we're not as good, like here are the years where the team has struggled and what the revenue looked like versus the years that it was really good. We don't know, right? As people are texting already, Robert Kraft tells you every single day that he was a fan of the team, and then he's not exactly spending on the team.
That's a good point.
That's not necessarily the greatest thing to hear because it's all about what you do with it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, are you a fan? You sat on the wooden bleachers? Like, awesome.
I watched them at the Old Garden.
Yeah, okay.
I watched Red light up his victory cigar at the Old Garden.
I grew up on Bird and Parrish and McHale, but now I'm trading Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday.
Right.
Like, we don't know yet.
Yeah, I wasn't a rich man then, and now I know how to make money.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that absolutely would be my concern.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you he's going to do it, but the whole thing about this sale is, all right, the Celtics are on course. Look at what they have. They have the whole roster. They've spent all the money. We didn't know if they'd spend the money, but they spent the money, and great. Now how many championships are they going to win? Then, boom, U-turn after they win the title. They go on the parade. It felt like the next day they're up for sale.
Up for grabs. Who wants them?
And our fear immediately was, oh, crap, maybe this thing won't be kept together. Now the sale's official. $6.1 billion. That's a big investment. Who knows if the guy wants to build his own stadium and what other you know, well, how much more money he needs to pour into the thing.
Yeah.
So
this would be my pitch, though. Like, if you're
that would
in
be
there,
my fear.
So this would be my hope would be, all right, you need to at least maximize this run with this roster. And if you don't want to year in and year out be flying over the luxury tax, I get it. Like, it is a business. You are trying to make money. And if you look at the roster, how many more years is Al Horford going to play? How many more years is Drew Holiday going to play? Not just with the Celtics, but just in general.
Porzingis.
Yeah, like these guys might come off the books and then say, if you're not willing to pay Tatum and Brown the supermax for the rest of their career, or, you know, the rest of their primes, then, like, why'd you even buy the team? Like, you have those two guys, and if you want to go with cheaper options around them after Holiday and Horford move on, I think you can get that number back to a reasonable amount, even paying the two guys $60 million a year or whatever it is.
I think that's a reasonable hope that how they're actually going to save money is when Horford's deal is up and Porzingis' deal is up
two.
And Holiday's deal is up. Those guys just aren't resigned. They're not really replaced. Tatum and Brown are here long term. Maybe Derek White is here long term. That's your core going forward. They pay all those guys. When the contracts phase out, they wipe them off the books.
Yeah.
There's their savings. I mean, that's the hope.
I mean, the money is going up. The salary cap is going up. So, like, when you see some of the numbers, they are pretty staggering. But that's, you're going to have to sort of reset that, what you pay your team year in and year out.
I'll also give you a positive spin on this. And this was my spin all along. The people who wanted Pegs, I don't know that, and I don't pretend to know enough about William Chisholm and his value, but he just plunked down $6.1 billion.
He's doing all right.
So I think I have a working, at least a loose working knowledge of
how much of that is a loan? He's like, I got a billion up front. Yeah. I'm going to have to work on
what's the interest rate on that?
Yeah,
like, I don't want to know what the monthly interest is.
What an absurd limit he has on his credit card.
I was going to say, speaking of credit cards, what if he puts $6.1 billion on the credit card, then he gets like 2% back? That's a nice
That's
little
so payment. Many miles.
Think of how many flights.
Huge.
Flights, hotel points.
He's just like, wait till these rewards points kick in.
Maybe he puts it on the card, and then in the meantime, he plunks down $6.1 billion on, like, Louisville today.
That'd be smart.
Double your money right away.
Yeah, you like Louisville, too?
I like Louisville. Yeah, minus 2.5.
Maybe that's what he's doing.
Yeah. The fact we're both on it,
Not good.
Might be a sucker
not
bet.
Not a good sign.
So we have more on that coming up. But no, my hope would be that he just has more money than Paliuka and more money than the Grosbecks, yeah. And this is a guy who can afford it. Like, okay, fine. It's a giant luxury bill. I don't care. I'm a Celtics fan. I can afford it. I'm richer than these guys. And I'm not some outsider. I was championing Bezos and people like that. Yeah. I'm like, I don't care if they're an outsider. I want the guy with the most money, because the guy with the most money is the guy likeliest to keep it together. So that would be a positive spin on things.
Yeah.
The answer is we don't know how he's going to act because he's brand new.
Right.
And I didn't pretend to know anything about this guy until 15 minutes ago.
Oh, you know, next year at this time, if they're still paying in the luxury tax and you know, the roster looks pretty similar, we're going to say, all right, this guy came in and wanted to keep it a winner and was willing to pay. We truly don't. We don't know yet. It's not like he's somebody that owns other teams. You know, like Jeffrey Lurie's name got brought up for like a hot second from Bill Simmons, and we could have said, all right, look what Philly did. Like, look what the Eagles have done and blah, blah, blah. That's not the case with this guy. So it is a complete unknown. But my hope is he's not buying this low and like he's literally buying it at the highest valuation it's ever been and any team has been that has been sold.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's already going into it being like, all right, this is a ton of money. But I think part of the allure is not only the great franchise history, but where they're at right now. Like, if every team was up for grabs right now in the league, I think this would be one of the ones that you would pounce on. I mean, I'm sure the Lakers, like, there's, you know, the appeal to the Lakers because it's in L.A. But you would pounce on this. Now, like, the next steps are going to be how long are they at the TD Garden?
Mm-hmm.
Are they able to get something going there? And, you know, how long is that going to take? Where's it going to be? And how long does he keep this roster together? But like I said, I think some of it's going to take, it's going to sort of answer itself because if they win the title this year, Al Horford could just walk away. He could just retire.
Yeah.
And then there goes a ton of money off the books. And you know, Jrue Holiday might not be far behind.
So how do you feel about the new owner? 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch all day with Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. The Jones and Keefe bracket, March Madness uniform bracket is up. Our final matchups of round two are today. Sweet 16 starts tomorrow. Make sure you get to at Jones and Keefe and vote. You can see the full bracket on Instagram. Watch today on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, and chat there. Always a healthy chat going on. You can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Speaking of the Twitch chat, they pointed something out.
What do they got?
They said he's also part owner of the San Antonio Spurs, which is not...
Wait, what?
It's not quite true.
Oh. It's like, I'm not sure that'll work.
But a company called, and I was unaware of this, I just Googled this real quick, Sportico has a good write-up on this, and Sportico, if you're unfamiliar with them, a week or two ago...
They had like the final four,
they had
right?
the final four names that were in the mix. There's a company called Sixth Street that has committed $1 billion to this deal.
Oh.
Okay, Sixth Street has a bunch of holdings.
We're in for a billion.
For other sports, they have $100 billion in assets. In addition, they also are involved with the San Antonio Spurs, Real Madrid, and FC Barcelona. Sixth Street will join Arctos Partners and Blue Owl as private equity firms with multiple NBA team investments. So they are...
I liked when one person owned the team.
That is not... Well, I mean, one person doesn't own the Celtics right now. And
no,
Wick,
God no.
And
I know
there's
that.
Like 50 billion people.
No, I know.
But okay, so this company, Sixth Street, is kicking in $1 billion in the deal as well. They're also invested in another NBA team in the San Antonio Spurs. Good point here. I mentioned that Chisholm was at Bain. So was Pags. So is it possible Pags isn't totally out in this deal?
Possible, yeah, especially when you have so many people involved and there's so many investments.
He still owns whatever percentage of the team he owns. It's a minority investment.
And that's what a lot of teams are doing.
I don't know if he's going to stay on or not, but that they might have a good working relationship.
I mean, even think about the NFL and what those teams are worth and how many teams are selling parts of it. You know, the fact that, like, Richard Seymour and Tom Brady got a slice of the Raiders. Like, there's very, very few one-person owners in sports. As the price continues to go up, people get in on, you know, whatever their percentage is. So, yeah, like, when it all kind of shakes loose, maybe he's still involved. Or maybe he's... pissed that he's not the majority owner and
right.
just is like, I'm going to go somewhere else.
I'm out.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's invested. Where else is he invested? He's got professional soccer clubs that he's invested in, and maybe he just decides to go in another direction. So, again, a Celtics fan, William Chisholm, Bill Chisholm. I feel like we're on a friendly first name basis.
Yeah, why not?
Since I just found out about him about a half an hour ago.
Yeah, yeah, you know him.
He is now the new owner of the Boston Celtics. He's taking over for Wick Grosbeck, who will remain on as managing partner. That means Pags is out. And I know from talking to you, a lot of you wanted Pags to be the next owner of the Boston Celtics. So how do you feel about it? You didn't get what you wanted. 617-779 7937. Hopefully he's got the money to afford the luxury tax bill. He certainly has a lot of money.
Seems like he does now.
The fear would be he gets in there and maybe the team underachieves this year. And he looks at it and goes, wait a minute, I paid what for what? And we're not even better than Oklahoma City?
All right, stupid question.
I'm going to start peeling off some money.
Stupid question, but maybe you can provide a smart answer.
It's okay.
If the Celtics win the title, does this guy hold up the trophy first?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Like, so he bought the team now, so, like, it's good. So, like, he's the one.
If I put up 6 points.
Guys, it's been a hell of a 3 months. I don't know all your names, but I do want to say.
What is it again?
Today we are champions! Like, who is this guy?
I want to hand the trophy to, is it James Mazzulla?
Nope.
Bob Stevens?
Bill Chisholm. I'll tell you, he just walks off with it. We are all Celtics! This guy barely got.
Anything is possible.
It's covered in champagne. Like, dude, you just got here.
Dude,
we don't know. You don't even know us.
Come on.
I can see that.
I want Irv.
Adam Silver.
I want Irv to
get up here. We know it's been a long, hard battle for you, Bill. You've been with this team since the beginning. He's like, no, I popped in with 10 games left in the regular season. What a ride. If every year's like this, it's going to be worth it.
Maybe they won't lose.
I can't wait for that.
Maybe they won't lose at home with the new owner. Maybe that was the key. Maybe
that's
a new owner.
Is he going to be sitting? Where does he sit?
Anything possible!
I hope he goes Mark Cuban style, right behind Mazzulla.
That's Kevin Garnett
down.
Slash Billy Chisholm.
Bill Chisholm.
Yeah, where does he sit? Good question.
Guys, it's been such a journey from the draft.
On lucky.
Yeah.
I just finished watching Celtic City, guys. I know. I feel like I've been here forever. You're like, Bill, come on.
Fair question here on the text line. Yeah. I feel like I kind of corrected it. Question, how is Pags out when he owns a percentage of the team? Out was too strong. I just meant he's not
he's not the majority owner.
Thank you. The majority owner. Yeah. He still has a share. Is he going to keep it? I have no idea. Are they going to buy out that share? I don't know.
So, I have no idea.
So out was too strong, but now he's got a new boss and somebody above him, and I feel like he's getting phased out, if nothing else. But I don't know their relationship. Maybe they have a relationship from Bain. And they're connected more than I give it credit for.
Did you say Bane?
Yes, I did.
You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it. Molded by it. I didn't see the light until I was already a
crab bag.
It's
a multi-purpose one.
It's quite a turn at the end there, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it is honestly kind of TBD because we don't really know what this guy is going to do. I'll choose to spin it positive that he's a Celtics fan.
But isn't that scary? It's just like, we don't know.
Well, no, that's what it was. And you said it. It was the timing of it last year was brutal. It was like the parade, like a million people out there. Everybody's celebrating. Like, oh my God, they're going to come back and win it again. It's like, yeah, they might, but they're going to have a new owner. And who knows what his, you know, appetite is for the luxury tax and everything else. We'll have to wait and see, sadly.
I feel like Twitch chat's having a strong day here today.
Are they off to a good start?
Dark and Stormy Night says he's actually going to be sitting in the booth with Drew and Scal.
You can't handle the chiz.
Oh, he's definitely going to say that.
Yeah. The chiz.
Chiz.
What do you think?
Chiz.
What did you think I said?
The Drew Carter said. Maybe we'll get the all-female broadcast again. Do you think we got Bill Chisholm's first question? Did you like the all-female broadcast? You want to bring them back?
Do you know who Tommy? You bought the Celtics.
Do you know Tommy?
Do you
Heinsohn
know
is?
Who Tommy Heinsohn is?
That's true.
I mean, he's a Celtics fan.
He should have to do some Celtics trivia.
Yeah,
you got to get like an 8 out of 10 or something on the quiz.
Yeah. Well, part of me wants to say that, Keith, but then part of me remembers how we did in the Jones and Keith Combine with our Boston sports knowledge.
That's true. Yeah, but we don't own the Celtics.
Oh, so he should be held to a higher standard.
I would think so. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we just talk about him.
You can't just pay for the answers.
Once or twice a week. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the Celtics sale. That's the big breaking news of the day on what I like to refer to as the holiest of the holy sports holidays.
It's
out
a great
there.
Day. It's one of the great days of the year. It's true.
I love the start of March Madness. Love it. I got my bracket all filled out over here. Keith, we're going to give you our brackets in 60 seconds. We were going to get to that earlier in the show today, but a lot of news floating around. My bracket. Keith's bracket. You want to jump in with thoughts on your brackets and your tips out there? We'll put you on the clock as well at 617-779-7937, along with all your thoughts on, the Celtics sale. We're also going to get to Steph Diggs, who is on a visit in Foxborough. I wonder how genuine the Patriots' interest is in Stephon Diggs. They said they don't want diva wide receivers. I mean, they told me they want a strong locker room. Can't bring in a guy like DK Metcalf.
Steph Diggs, strong locker room guy.
Steph Diggs has a strong presence in the locker room. I'm not sure it's a good presence in the locker room. You'll know he's in there for sure. So we'll get to that coming up, along with a variety of other topics. Red Sox, Rob Bradford on the show today. We're also going to update the Jones and Keith bracket. I will let you know, that time is running out in yesterday's baseball region, but it is a tight, tight, tight matchup.
It is heated.
The number six seeded Astros in the sunset uniforms that I like so much. Not to tell you how to vote.
No, they're not great.
The Orioles Smiling Birds, a 14 seed, perhaps.
It's a bird with a bat and a helmet.
Perhaps a team of destiny on the way to the Sweet 16. You can vote at Jones and Keefe, full bracket on Instagram and Twitter, at Jones and Keefe as well. We'll get to your thoughts and the latest on the Celtics sale. Stephon Diggs, his visit to New England.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think if you're a Patriot fan, you're hoping these two quarterbacks go before you pick.
Yep.
And then you're either going to get one of those guys. You're going to get Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, elite players. I think with Travis, it's the unique part about him. The special part is it's different for different teams of how you'd use him. I do think it's easier to major in defense and minor in offense. But looking where the Patriots are at corner and where they are at receiver right now, if he were to go to that specific team, I think I would say, look, you're full-time offense, and we'll find some spots for you, whether it's some third downs,
red zone,
you know, different packages, and we'll sprinkle you in on defense. But yeah. I don't know how you look at Drake May and say, you know, this guy that we got who's better than anybody else at the position on our team, we're only going to use him part-time. I don't think that would make sense.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Big news today. We have a new owner of the Boston Celtics. Your guy, my guy. Bill Chisholm.
Wild Bill Chisholm. Congratulations on the sale, sir.
Text line had it. It was right in front of our eyeballs. If they were going to quiz him on the Celtics when he came in, his Celtics knowledge, because you're the new owner of the Celtics, you claim you're a Celtics fan. Text line says they should call it Quiz with Chiz.
Quiz with Chiz. Done by Stiz. Perfect. It's right there. If he's ever on the afternoon show, that's just it'd be too good.
Right there under our noses. $6.1 billion. You can jump in on that. It's not Pags.
Not Pags.
So how do you feel about it? Do you think he's going to keep
it? Not John Henry, though. That's a win.
No, that's a definite win. Not Robert Kraft. Not that we thought it was necessarily going to be either of those two.
Right.
But again, $6.1 billion. Is he going to keep it together? Is he going to buy a new stadium? How do you feel that it's not Pags taking over? Feels like he's getting phased out. You can jump in again at 617-779-7937. You just heard Daniel Jeremiah discussing on the McAfee show that if the Patriots took Travis Hunter at four, they would move him to wide receiver and have him play primarily there. And he illustrated it's because they have a need at wide receiver, not necessarily because that's the best fit for him, but because that's their need. Aside from that, Keith, the Patriots have brought in Stephon Diggs for a visit last night.
Curious timing, too. Just yesterday, during a very popular Would You Rather Wednesday segment, we asked the question, would you rather Steph Diggs or Amari Cooper, the two best free agents?
You answered?
I answered Steph Diggs.
I answered Amari Cooper.
I think Steph Diggs, even though he is coming off an injury, I think at his best, he's better than Amari Cooper, and I think he has still something left in the tank. And both of those guys... last time we saw him play in Buffalo also, and I know you give Cooper more of an out because he joined the team midseason, but he was invisible. He was the invisible man, Kevin Bacon.
Didn't do anything.
And Steph Diggs was actually pretty good for Houston at the time of the injury. So, yeah, injury's a concern. He's available for a reason, right? His age combined with coming off of the ACL injury. But he was, what, like top 10 in the league in catches, I think, at the time that he got hurt. He also really helped Josh Allen take it to the next level of his career. And I know he was better 5 years ago than he is today, but he's still good. And I think he could be a guy that helps take Drake May to the next level. I think he's clearly, now both of these guys would be, clearly the best wide receiver on this team.
Yeah.
And guess what? You're not going to have 53 choir boys that are all fine, that aren't barking for the ball or whatever. Like, I'm okay with this.
Me too. And so let me just be clear. I would prefer Amari Cooper to Stephon Diggs, but it's not because he's a bad teammate. And there was a question about that in the Twitch chat. He's referred to himself as a bad teammate in Minnesota. And just listen to Josh Allen last year. You can pull up the story. It's easy to Google. I just found a Pro Football Talk story from 2021. He referred to himself as a bad teammate with the Vikings. His words, not mine.
Good assessment.
And just think of all the shots. Nick reminded me of this yesterday. Think of all the shots Josh Allen has taken at Stephon Diggs since he left. He's taken a million shots at Stephon Diggs, directly, indirectly, since he went to Houston. And now he's out of another team. He's going on to his – Houston wants nothing to do with him. Buffalo wanted nothing to do with him at the end. Minnesota wanted nothing to do with him. I don't care about any of that. When I talk about Steph Diggs, and I would be on board with this signing, I talk about how he won't be ready week one, how he's 32 or will be in November. Like, those are the things that I'm talking about. I don't care about his reputation and that he's a bad teammate. This team needs talent at wide receiver. I'm okay with rolling the dice. They supposedly are not. They didn't want DK Metcalf. They didn't want Deebo Samuel. They didn't want Davante Adams. They weren't in on any of these guys.
Or
the logic we got from Tommy Curran when he joined us on Tuesday is because they don't want guys who are going to get in Drake May's ear and put pressure on Drake May or undermine the coaching and be a bad apple in the locker room. The team put that out there. So either it was bullcrap, which it probably was all along.
I was going to say.
And it's really about, well, we'll roll the dice on a bad apple on a cheap contract, not for $150 million.
Correct.
Or this is all just some sort of weird smokescreen to drum up interest and discussion around the team because fans are a little upset after the quick flurry on day one. They're a little upset about Robert Kraft and his victory lap where they have no wide receiver. And I smell a rat on this visit. If you're asking me, I don't think they're going to sign Diggs. I hope they do. Yeah. I'd be okay with it. They're supposedly not okay with it because they don't want guys who are going to upset the locker room. But I smell a rat on this. I don't think they're going to sign him.
Did they sign Calvin Ridley? Did they sign DeAndre Hopkins?
Nope.
These are other guys that had visits. How many visits have paid off as signings? Or do we just hear them as signings? Like, that's... maybe there's some.
Good
question. I'm sure there are.
You know, that linebacker yesterday took a visit and then signed.
Okay. So I guess, I mean, that's positive.
It's one, and it's a one-year deal of a backup, but you know.
That's true. But, like, I don't remember Milton Williams or Robert Spillane or Carlton Davis or all these guys. That they signed pretty quickly. And so now they're getting a visit with Steph Diggs. And I wonder if it is just a lot of pushback because they're like, oh, crap, now too many people are saying we're afraid of, like, big – personalities or things like that, or they're making fun of our plan B at receiver or whatever else. I think it has more to do with they just want a guy at the right price still.
Yeah.
And, you know, because DK Metcalf, people are like creating stuff on DK Metcalf being a problem. Like, is DK Metcalf a problem?
I mean,
where is that coming from?
I haven't heard it. And so maybe I've missed it and maybe I need to refamiliarize myself with some of what he's done.
But they were like
in
betting
Seattle.
Themselves and they being like all different times where different reporters would write stuff in regards to the offseason search for the Patriots. And we went through them all the time and we'd scratch our heads and be like, all right, this guy apparently is a problem. This guy apparently doesn't fit the offense. This guy doesn't do this. And yet they wanted Chris Godwin, didn't get him. They signed Mac Hollins and then they've been out essentially on playmakers on offense. And now, you know, the dust is really, really settled. We're, what, over a week into free agency? And Steph Diggs is still out there. Let's go give that a sniff. But if they don't get him, it's like, all right, what's the difference? Like, I would be very surprised. I'd be very surprised if they sign Steph Diggs.
Same with me. And again, I don't have a fair point by the text line. Maybe I flip-flopped a little bit on Stephon Diggs. They asked me a while ago, do you want Steph Diggs? I said no. Now, at the time, Cooper Kupp was available. All these names were out there and available.
Yeah, this is playing G, but it's still I'll take them.
When I say I'll take, that's exactly what I mean. I think there were way better options out there, but now we're here.
Neither one of us put him in our top five for wide receiver targets, but guess what? Those five are all off the board.
And I never said I didn't want him because of his attitude. I don't care about that. The Patriots are the ones who supposedly care about that. So why are they even visiting with this guy? If they really care about their locker room, you shouldn't even meet with the guy. You know he's a bad teammate. He called himself a bad teammate in 2021. Josh Allen hated him by the end. Houston is moving on again. So why
Josh Allen loved him at one point. I'm not looking for him to be here forever and have it be like, and they lived happily ever after.
He loved him at one point in his 20s when he was a Pro Bowl receiver.
C.J. Stroud was complimentary of him last year.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay.
He just needs to hotshot him for a year.
So he's there for a year, yes. And then everybody hates him.
Okay.
That's all I want is a year.
Okay. The reason why I wouldn't want him is
because you're a coward and you're scared.
He's not going to be ready week one.
Well, maybe week two.
He's not going to be ready. He's not going to have an offseason. He's not going to have a training camp.
It's a long season.
He's not going to have a preseason. He won't be there week one. He's going to be 32. That's why I don't want him.
Would you rather, I know it's Thursday, so not to impede on Wednesday, would you rather Steph Diggs or no one else?
That's what I'm saying. I'd rather have Steph Diggs and no one else. So when I say I don't want him, that's why I prefer Cooper.
No, I don't.
I would sign him if the opportunity is or the option is.
But you'd still,
it's Diggs or no one. Yeah. And it's just let's draft
which
somebody.
Which might be what it is.
Right. Diggs.
Okay.
If it's Cooper or Diggs, I still prefer Cooper because Diggs is older and Diggs won't be ready week one.
But I just think that we brought this up the other day, the scary reality that they might go into training camp this year with Pop Douglas, Kayshon Booty, Mac Hollins, Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, and maybe I'm missing one. Oh, Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah. Don't forget him.
And like a second or third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
So if Steph Diggs is added to it, even if the guy's not ready till week seven, you're still better off with him than with nobody.
Well, yeah. I mean, week seven.
I mean, I don't want to be too hard. I'm just exaggerating.
I get what you're saying. I would hold my nose and sign Stephon Diggs. It's not about him being a bad teammate. They're the ones who are afraid of him being a bad teammate.
Yeah, but what's up with the messaging? Like, the messaging is all askew.
Well,
you don't want these guys because they're a problem, but, like, the guy who might be the biggest problem short of Diontae Johnson, like, now we're in on him.
It'd be so fraudulent.
Yeah.
To say, we don't want DK Metcalf, he might be a problem, and then sign this guy?
But this also makes we went back to it at the time, and we said we reserved the right to freak out later, but we didn't do it at the time because we're nothing if not fair. Deebo Samuel for a fifth-round pick. If Deebo Samuel is out there right now available for a fifth-round pick.
Do an heartbeat.
And we're talking about Amari Cooper and Steph Diggs.
Cooper Kupp for a seventh-round pick.
Good
like,
Lord.
They should have been going after those guys when they were available. They didn't.
Correct.
Burt Breer today. Patriots have free agent wide receiver Stephon Diggs in for a visit in Foxborough, per sources. Chad Graff.
Graff. He was the first one on this.
He was on it first, says Burt Breer. But guy's got a good source.
It's tied in.
Guy knows what he's talking about over there.
I know.
He had dinner.
He leaves his, it's good in the Scoops game to have your source be very mysterious.
Yeah.
Same, like, he's very mysterious.
You want people on their toes.
We don't know who he's talking to.
That's, again, Chad
Graff
at the Athletic. He had dinner with staffers last night. Diggs, not Chad Graff.
Well.
They could have all been
who's to say?
And had meetings.
What'd they have?
And we'll take a physical today. Good question. Which is big because he's coming back off a torn ACL. It's Diggs' first known visit. So when I say I smell a rat and I doubt the Patriots sign him, here's what I mean. I can see that from both sides. Diggs needs to drum up interest. Diggs needs to take a visit. So this is the place he's going to take a visit, and they're using each other. Diggs gets his name out there. The Patriots, we're shut out on wide receivers. We met with Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
It shuts up some of the fans and media types. So they're kind of using each other from that standpoint.
But this could backfire because this is very similar to what the Red Sox would do.
Yes.
And all of a sudden 100%. They're talking to guys. And so before we're like, you know, you, me, and everybody else that wants a receiver would be a little annoyed that they weren't talking to Diggs and Cooper. And then they're like, we are talking to him, but it's a joke. It's a fake. Like, no, so now you're kind of getting our hopes up, and then you're still not going to sign him, so then we're going to lose our minds even more. Like, you're making it worse. So the Red Sox thought for a long time, saying that we were second or third, that should appease the fan base because they're going to know that we were trying.
It actually
goes the opposite way.
Right.
You end up getting more mad about it. Like, the fact that you were quote-unquote close on Hopkins, Ridley, and I'm telling you, Diggs is going to be the same thing. Add him to the list. You're going to find out he's going to sign, you know, a two-year incentive-laden deal worth, I don't know, $26 million. And the Pats offered.
So we agree on this. I didn't realize we were going to agree on this. You don't think they signed him either?
No.
Yeah, I don't.
Definitely not.
Something's up. And I don't know if it's his agent trying to get his name out there. If the team is in cahoots with the agent,
right,
saying, well, yeah, let's again shut up media types and fans, Or if it's just, and Kyde and Callahan have written about this, Breer just hinted
at it. I mean, his market would have to bottom out.
Yeah.
Like, bottom out to the point where he's almost a free guy, then maybe. But even, I don't think it's happening.
He also, again, needs a physical, and teams want medicals on him because he's not going to be ready week one.
Turn your head and cough.
And so they're just bringing him in to get medical information.
Look at his knee. Poke his knee around a little bit. You're like, yeah, you're not ready. Yeah, we tried. The medicals are off.
So, I think the Patriots are pretty out of touch. I don't think they're so out of touch to leak out over and over and over again. We don't want any diva wide receivers in the room with Drake May. We don't want wide receivers in his face demanding the football. We want him listening to the coaches. We don't want a bad guy in the locker room. I don't think they're that out of touch, and maybe I'm wrong, where they would say that all offseason, leak that out to reporters all offseason, and then turn around and sign this guy.
Well, it could also...
I think meeting with him is bad enough, but yeah. I don't think they're stupid enough to sign him and understand how bad that would make them look.
But is there a little bit of panic setting in because maybe they were naive enough to think they were going to get Chris Godwin away from Tampa, and then they're like, oh, wait a minute. And then now they keep bringing in defensive player after defensive player after defensive player, and they're saying, well, wait a minute. And who knows? Maybe you get to the draft and, you know, you... Travis Hunter's off the board or whatever, a guy that might be thinking long term might be a wide receiver on your team, and he's not there, and you're saying, well, we gotta bring in somebody. So even though we felt this way about Steph Diggs, we thought there might be some other guys available, right. And there isn't.
No, that's true. When they were leaking out the info on DK, that was at the beginning of the offseason where maybe they thought they were going to get some people.
I'm telling you, you could say, oh, DK, Debo, we don't want those guys. Like, all right, you better have like Devontae Adams or Cooper Kupp or Godwin or Higgins. Or you might have somebody lined up.
Again, Twitch chat has been strong today.
Good day. You know what it is? It's the tournament. People maybe, are going to take a long lunch.
Maybe
people
that's what it is. Yeah, yeah. But it was, I scrolled past it, so I can't give proper credit, but it was something like, this is like me at the bar at the end of the night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, just, all right, fine, Steph Diggs, come on home.
Who's available? Who's available? Who's available?
Here's the full quote. I've hinted at it a couple of times from 2020.
Okay.
Coming from my old team, said Steph Diggs, and I hate talking about my old self. My old stuff, I'm sorry.
Old self as well. I mean, everybody's moving on. Everybody's better today, hopefully, than they were yesterday.
But it was up to me wanting to leave and go to another place. I was a good teammate.
There you go.
It wasn't until I wanted to do something else when I became a bad teammate.
That happens.
So as far as when things are going good, it's all good until it's not good.
No doubt.
For me, even then, I always tried to play with a chip on my shoulder, lead the team the best way I knew how. Coming here, Buffalo, and having a fresh start, it's fair for people to make their assumptions or their assessments from the outside looking in. That's fair. I just look at it as, when I get there, I'll show them who I am and where we'll go from there. As for my new chapter with my new team, things are going pretty good. Well, they were going good, as he said, until they didn't. And then Josh Allen wanted nothing to do with them. Then he went to Houston, and he was gone after a year. So I'm okay with rolling the dice on the talent. If they're ready week one, he's not going to be ready week one.
One of the greatest videos of all time was a locker room video. I forget. It might have been like a Jim Rome bit or something. But they had a guy, like Thielen, in the locker room, like walking around, or Kirk Cousins, like with all the different Vikings, back when Steph Diggs was on the Vikings. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And they were like, which player on the team would you least want dating your sister? And they all went through and they were like, Diggs, Diggs, Diggs. And then they get the Steph Diggs and they were like, everybody kind of said you. He's like, he was like legit hurt. He's like, why? He's like, I'm a great guy. He's like, why would they say that? And then they were like, who would you not want dating your sister? And he named some like linebacker or whatever. And they're like, why? And he goes, because he's ugly.
All right. Well, maybe
it's good.
Well, maybe
good.
I'm changing my tune. Maybe I'll change my tune based on that.
Wasn't he, this is rumors, and this is going down my WAG info, wasn't he with Cardi B when she was with child?
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think he still is, isn't he?
Is he still together? Yeah, but
so how about that? Boston,
she was pregnant.
Megan
Thee
Stallion.
I was
Cardi
literally
B.
just going to say that. Boston's going to have Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B.
Wow.
WAG City.
Yes, it is.
Who's Bill Chisholm married to?
We could play that song as a rejoin, Nick. The whole thing has to be...
Yeah, you complained about next episode a couple days ago.
The whole thing has to be bleeped. All right. I don't think we can even say the name of the song, for God's sakes.
There was a very famous John Henry remix to that song back in the day. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Patriots and Steph Diggs. Do you want him? Would it be a fraudulent move by the Patriots? The new owner of the Boston Celtics, my guy, Bill Chisholm, $6.1 billion. Pags, not the owner of the Celtics. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And it's the holiest of the holy sports holidays. The NCAA bracket. Keefe and I put something on the clock every Thursday on this show. We were going to start the show with it. Too much news, so we'll get to our brackets next.
Ooh, that's nice.
I just picture...
Too smooth.
the custodian taking charges. I see a montage of Brian Cardinal taking charges.
Oh, he sure
when
would.
I hear that.
Oh yeah, Steve Wojciechowski slapping the floor.
Eduardo Nájera.
Oh yeah,
just elbow right to the chin.
Junk ball. He's like George the Messiah down there. Absolute junk.
It's the holiest of the holy sports days out there.
It's a great day.
I enjoy this day very much.
Sure, it should be a holiday.
I enjoy this time of year. Maybe in part because I leave town for the weekend and go gamble and drink with all my buddies.
That's going to be a good
time. Maybe it's that. I just ditch my family for a whole weekend. Maybe that's why subconsciously I'm so into it. But I do enjoy this time of year more than just about any other. We'll give you my bracket, Keith's bracket. You got tips on your bracket out there. You can jump in, 617-779-7937 every Thursday here on Jones and Keith. We put something on the clock today. It will be our brackets. You can follow along if you haven't filled yours out yet. We'll give you all our tips, our picks, everything coming up here in just a moment. One update from Adam Himmelsbach, who broke this news, the Boston Globe. Updated. A source close to William Chisholm. I don't like that he's still being so formal.
It's Bill.
Bill Chisholm.
Yeah, Wild Bill.
Said the new Celtics owner intends to buy a home in Boston.
Nice. You think he can afford it? The prices around here are pretty steep.
I'm just telling you. So now the guy's going to buy. He just bought the team. Now he's going to buy a home, too.
Like, a little cash strapped now.
There goes Porzingis.
Yeah. There's some good North Shore spots.
Going to have
New Hampshire.
Buy a home in Boston.
All right.
He watches every game. And he has, Keith. Yeah, brag of the week. You know what? Absolute brag of the week.
Although
right
he didn't say it, though. Yeah. So I guess they're not. He's bragging for him.
A source close to. Yeah, you're right. It's a source close to him.
Yeah.
Brag by proxy.
Yeah.
He watches every game and has a quote unquote, this is quoted, encyclopedic knowledge of the team.
Like Rain Man.
Quiz with Chiz. We need to get this done.
He'd be really good at it. He would, in fact, know who Tommy Heinsohn was, is what you're saying.
Well, that's what this source is
that's what
claiming,
the source says.
Implying.
We're going to put him on the hot seat, though.
He watches all the Celtic cities.
He's seen every game. Okay.
Okay. You got me beat there.
You own the team.
Also, the new ownership group includes Celtics minority owner Robert Hale. Should not be a stranger to anybody who listens to this radio station.
That's fantastic.
Rob Hale, already a part owner of the Boston Celtics, minority owner in the previous ownership group. His name is mentioned in this story. You know whose isn't?
Pags. Crickets on that, huh?
Doesn't mean he's not part of it. But
or maybe he's saying, you know what, guys? I'm pretty annoyed that I'm not the majority owner. Maybe he thought he had a good offer, didn't get it. You could see wanted to go somewhere else. I think you're right. He does own or part owns a soccer team in Europe.
Yep.
Yeah. And so maybe he wants to get involved with somebody else and invest somewhere else.
How about that?
Yeah.
Rob Hale broken out, singled out by the Globe.
Okay.
Steve Pell, you cannot.
Mm.
Interesting.
What does it mean?
And the new owner, again, has an encyclopedic knowledge of this team and watches every game.
Yeah.
Wow. Which, that does sound like something Robert Kraft would say. But whatever, it's a happy day out there for the Celtics. $6.1 billion, the most in North American sports. Okay. Let's put these on the clock. I believe I'm first up here, Keith.
Okay,
I think you have the home-ups this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Go ahead.
So we'll do these now. We'll
on the clock.
We'll replay them at high noon.
Yeah.
60 seconds on the clock. You ready, Nick? Let's go. All right, here's my bracket. I have four, count them, four double-digit seeds reaching the Sweet 16. The number 13, Yale Bulldogs over A&M and Michigan. Number 13, High Point over Purdue and Clemson. I like the number 12 seed, Liberty over Earmuscat, Oregon and Arizona. I like number 11, Xavier, over Illinois and Kentucky. That's not all. I got more upsets for you. Number 12, Colorado State, over Memphis. That's actually a favorite winning that game. UNC, an 11 seed, also a favorite, over Ole Miss. And number 10, Vandy, over the St. Mary's Gales. However, if you like chalk, I got it for you. Aww. Regional final in the East, number 1, Duke, over number 2, Alabama. In the Midwest, number 1, Houston, over number 2, Tennessee. In the South, number 1, Florida, over number 3, Texas Tech, and I do have third-seeded Iowa State over number 1, Auburn, out west. In the Final Four, Duke takes down Houston in one semifinal, Florida over Iowa State in the other semifinal, and then I have Duke beating Florida as your NCAA tournament champion.
Woo!
Okay.
How about that?
Duke going out on a limb with Duke and 3-1 seeds.
That's wild.
Very bold. Very, very bold.
All right.
All right, you want to put a keep on the clock? 60 seconds. Let's go.
Everybody has all the one seeds going to the Final Four this year, but not me. Everybody, they're so proud of it, too. They're like, look at my final four. I crunched the numbers. Here's my final four. I initially filled it out with 0-1 seeds, and I said, well, hold on a second. I need to be competitive in this thing. So I have 1-1 seed in the final four. It is Duke, because I always tend to go with NBA prospects, the top NBA prospects, and I push their teams forward. Does this strategy work? It does not. I famously picked James Harden and Arizona State to win a title. I think they got bounced in the first round. But I have Duke going to the Final Four. I have Tennessee going to the Final Four in the Midwest, knocking off Houston. St. John's. Rick Pitino's St. John's. I think he's going to be in the white suit at the end of this, and they are going to win the whole thing. Also, the Cinderella story I really like is North Carolina, because every time a team is ripped apart for not being, they shouldn't be in the tournament, how dare they get into the tournament, not only do they win a game or two, they often go on a run. So I will take the 11 seed North Carolina Tar Heels to advance all the way to the Final Four and lose to the eventual champ St. John's.
Wow, how about that?
Also, I hurt my hand filling out my bracket. Dude, it's the first thing.
No joke.
I haven't written that much in a long time.
No joke. So I have notoriously poor handwriting, but I sat down and wrote this last night. Hand cramp when I was
hurt.
Not even joking.
I don't know what I need. Like a banana? Like,
I thought the Wunderlich test was bad that we took.
Yeah, no, this was rough.
I went southwest. So I started in the upper left, went to the bottom left. By the time I was not even done with the Western bracket, my hand was cramping up.
Yeah, it's tough.
Then I soldiered through the East and the Midwest and then the Final Four. It was the stuff of heroes is what it was.
It's a good time. I'm glad you were able to survive.
So you have St. John's over North Carolina? Is that
what I heard? Yeah, that's in the Final Four. Championship is St. John's over Tennessee.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So the reason I admittedly was half listening, and you'll rehear these at high noon.
If you're not listening to me, then who the hell?
Well, there is a reason.
No, go ahead.
Pags just put out a statement. So I was thumbing through that as you were reading. My mistake, Keith. We'll play those again at high noon, all of our tips on the bracket. Since the Grossbeck family, this is reading from Steve Pagliuca on Twitter. He said, here's my statement on today's news. Since the Grossbeck family announced it would sell the Boston Celtics almost 9 months ago, I've worked tirelessly to put together a strong bid centered around the great majority of existing owners of the team who understand and appreciate what it means to be a steward of the Boston Celtics, a team steeped in championship tradition. Additionally, I recruited new partners with deep resources and expertise in technology and international markets to maximize the Celtics' successes and ensure we can always compete for championships. Luxury taxes be damned.
Okay.
It's easy to say when you lose out.
Well,
you're not paying them.
Nope.
Pags continues, we made a fully guaranteed and financed offer at a record price. Is it possible he means a record price, meaning it was higher than the Commanders but lower than this?
Yes.
So that, right.
100%.
We made a record offer. It wasn't the highest offer.
But Bill Chisholm came in and made a record
deal. But it was a record offer. Yeah. I already don't like this statement from Pags.
No, I know.
Befitting the best sports fans in the world, and with all the capital coming from individuals who are fully committed to winning on and off the court. We had no debt or private equity money that would potentially hamstring our ability to compete in the future. How's that? I don't buy that. We have felt it was the best offer for the Celtics, and it is a bid of true fans. Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Deeply connected.
Shot at Bill.
Deeply, well, and Rob Hale.
Well, right.
It's a bid of true fans?
Yeah.
Deeply connected to Boston's community? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Rob Hale, definitely not that.
Yeah, seriously.
And we've been saddened to find out that we have not been selected in the process. So we
had the best deal, so basically he's saying that they chose
the
worst deal?
No. Did he say, hang on, where was
we
it?
We felt. Well, yeah.
We felt.
So in his mind, they had the best offer.
Yeah. That means, exactly. Robert Kraft felt he had the best offer to Calvin Ridley. So like
true. It was not about finance.
That word felt is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence. We felt we had the best offer. Well, Wick didn't. Irv didn't. Why not? I want to thank all the players and the fans over these many years that have supported us in rebuilding the team and winning two championships.
You're welcome.
We couldn't have done any of this without you.
True.
Here we go. As the grandson of Italian immigrants who came to America with only their willingness to work hard and be part of the American dream.
Why not? Toss that in there.
I'm thankful that I've been able to be a part of the Celtics history and legacy, and I'll forever be grateful for all the memories along the way.
My great-great-great-grandpappy came over from Ireland. I want to thank him. Give him a shout-out. It's like, all right.
We're already on paragraph three. I maybe just lop that off, but whatever.
No,
he's a proud man. He's a man that's proud of his heritage.
That's good stuff.
The Celtics are not just a basketball team, but a way of life. My family and I will continue to be lifelong fans and cherish the honor to being part of the organization for so many years.
All right.
I will never stop being a Celtic.
I don't know if you ever were a Celtic.
And if the announced transaction doesn't end up being finalized, ouch.
Wow.
My partners and I are ready to check back into the game and bring it home to help continue what the Celtics do best, win. Let's go, Celtics. Steve Pagliuca sounds real upset about
all
this.
All jokes aside, that is a wild statement. It is a wild statement. we thought we had the best offer. If the offer that's being announced falls through, yeah, we'll be back in.
If these cheapskates,
in the meantime, like thanks to my grandparents,
if these poor bastards can't afford it, I'll jump in there, even though I didn't have the best offer in the first place. Wowzers.
We're real fans. This is the real fan. The real fans offer you guys said no to. We're good. And he mentions the luxury tax a couple of times. Does he know something we don't? Would they not be willing to do luxury tax?
Okay, well, I mean,
or he's just a bitter. He's just bitter.
I would read it as he's he's bitter. I would read it as he's bitter, but
if that flimsy offer falls through, you guys know who to call.
Yeah. Hey, if you decide not to marry him, yeah, I'll still be here.
Does anybody object? I object. Like, no, we're good, dude. Yeah. Like, this is signed
off. Text the girl the night before she gets married, your ex.
You really doing this?
Yeah, if you decide not to do it, I'm still here.
Hey, if it falls through, I know it's a lot of money being tossed around right now, but if you want to sell it to real fans, why don't you give us a call? You have my number. Kind of sad. Like, kind of a sad way to go out, really.
What a dirtbag move.
If this deal falls through, that's reckless at the end. You can't do that, can you?
If this guy can't find a couple of nickels in the couch cushions, I'll buy it.
This guy's pretty cash-strapped, so if that falls through, which I think it might, you can come back to our offer, which was the best offer from real fans.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll do more on that.
I guess so.
I want to circle back to more of that from Pags. Holy smokes. 617-779.
Do you think he wrote it in blood or tears?
793-7. You could jump in there. The Celtics have a new owner. It is definitely not Steve Pagliuca.
No, don't think so. Although
doesn't sound like he's part of the new ownership group, best I can tell.
It doesn't feel like that. No.
They are in fact not friends from Bain Capital, if I'm reading between the lines here properly.
I don't think so.
So we'll get back to your phone calls coming up. We have an update from Sam Kennedy as well on Garrett Crochet. We're going to talk to Brad Foe next hour. Lots on the table here on Jones and Keith.